Right now, though, my guest is on the line. She's Lerandi Creel, and she's Chief Executive Officer of Sweep South. And we're going to be talking about the 8th Annual Domestic Worker Pay and Working Conditions Report. Lerandi, thanks for talking to me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to me about this 8th Annual Domestic Worker Pay and Working Conditions Report. Just talk to the major findings, if you would.
Well, a few things. Domestic workers are struggling to make ends meet. There's a big gap between what they're earning and living wages. That's the one thing. On the positive side, 86% of domestic workers are wanting to further educate themselves, with about 30% that's already doing it through online free training. And I think the saddest part is like the debt of domestic workers that's forced to go into debt and not coming out of that debt cycle, which influences their mental health.
So I'm just really interested in a lot of what you're saying. I think this is personal to many of us who have people assisting us with housework, things we don't want to do. I think it's probably the most underpaid job on the planet. What is a living wage in South Africa these days? Do you know?
Yes. So a living wage is anything north of R4,500. Domestic workers are extremely financially disciplined. I mean, they can get out with R4,500 feeding a family of four dependents, God, putting kids through school, etc.
No, that's a frightening statistic. I mean, if you just think of the cost of walking into a supermarket today to buy some deodorant and basics, you've spent R1,000 before you've looked around. You wonder how people are supporting families on under R4,000 a month. I'm presuming that's not the only salary. I'm presuming there's a second one, but probably wrong to make that assumption.
Yes, no, very wrong to make that assumption. The majority, a staggering majority of domestic workers, over 80% are the breadwinners of their households, and 67% are single mothers. So they are single income earners.
Tell me, what were the biggest changes between this year's report and last year's report, specifically in the way that they challenged your assumptions? What stood out?
What stood out is that, you know, we often, domestic work is such an invisible form of employment. You know, a lot of households don't even notice the person in their home, or they don't give it a second thought. But that these are people with dreams, with big dreams, big aspirations. You know, they are actively improving and bettering their skills through online education. That's the one thing. And that some of them, so over the last 5 years, we've seen an increase from 8% to 13% of those that are managing to save a little bit, which is, like you said earlier, on the salaries that they earn, quite amazing.
I think I recall reading in a summary of your report, correct me if I'm wrong, but you spoke about the total numbers of domestic employees this year as opposed to previous years, and the number, interestingly, has decreased. Am I remembering correctly?
Yes, 100%. So households in South Africa, and this is now across South Africa, before COVID, there was 1.2 million households that had some form of domestic work, whether permanent, whether part-time. That was the number pre-COVID. So post-COVID, obviously, we saw a big decline, you know, people working from home, doing some of the chores themselves. So that number last year was 850,000 work opportunities, and that has reduced with 5% this year to just north of 800,000. So huge number of jobs lost in the domestic work sector. That's about a third of what they used to be 5 years ago.
And what accounts for that?
So a number of factors. Obviously, the economic climate in South Africa haven't been favorable. South Africa growing 0.7% in 10 years. And today I see the stats were out of our quarter three growth. I think it's 0.8%. So no growth. Post-COVID, you know, corporate South Africa or businesses haven't increased salaries with as much as before. So salary increase in South Africa has been consistently below 5%, with cost of living about north of 8% for households. So obviously there's less disposable income, and the domestic work are where household cuts. So it's financial pressure. And then the other one is we see a big number of households with domestic workers immigrating and leaving the country or leaving to other areas within South Africa.
Lorandi, it just strikes me, having had this conversation with you for 5 minutes already, that I didn't define the ground rules in terms of what are you defining as a domestic worker? That 3,600 rand that you were saying was under the required living conditions, is that live in or live out? What are we talking about?
Okay, so domestic workers, so the research that we do, we've been doing this for 8 years. We send it to about almost 20,000 domestic workers, and this year we got 6,000 responses back. So 40% are domestic workers that's never been on the SweepSouth platform, hasn't heard of us. 30% has been on the platform, left for some type of private arrangement, and 30% are actively on our platform. And in the demographic of that is 85% of domestic workers, they work for multiple households within a week, and 15% work permanently.
Interesting. All right, so then let's talk to the biggest challenges that domestic workers face today, be it around wages or benefits, savings, job security. What has your report highlighted, and what way can we as society or employers help address them?
So obviously the first one is earning a living wage. So and how, you know, how the, let's call it, the broader South Africa can assist with that is ensuring that you're paying your domestic worker a fair wage. The minimum wage for domestic workers were brought in recently, 2022, March 2022, and there's a lot of people ignorance. They're people that don't know that there is a minimum hourly wage for domestic workers, to ensure that you at least pay that. And if you can contribute more, that's the one thing. The other thing we see is sharp mental health decline for domestic workers. And we see this, we've been seeing this post-COVID, 16% decline in mental health that they cite. And that is all around a worries about being unemployed, losing a form of job or hours, etc. So if you can give them the opportunity to work. The sharing, so if you have a domestic worker, like, you know, sharing a basic groceries, etc. And I think just being aware of this group of employment, 11% of women in South Africa are employed through domestic work. And if you can contribute in any positive way to them, we can make a huge difference, in society.
I seem to recall, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, that way back when, in the days when I was involved with law, domestic workers as a class were not protected by the Labour Relations Act. Has that changed since my time, a long time ago? Are the necessary legislative protections in place for them?
Yes and no. So domestic workers do fall under the UIF legislation. But not under, well, in certain cases, not all cases under the BCA or the LRA that you're citing. And then on the UIF, it's regulated, but it's not enforced as rigorously.
I was just going to say, if you did things by the book, you should be giving your domestic a salary slip, showing deductions, and how many people have even registered their domestics for UIF? I mean, would you have any idea of the stats on those issues?
Yes, we do. We do survey that. Our survey is very deep. It's the only of its kind in Africa with all the data metrics. So the domestic workers that's lost their jobs this year, 12% of them were registered for UIF.
12.
Which is 12. So it's incrementally increased, but it's still very low.
Wow, that is a fascinating. I so got that wrong. I would have thought 60 or 70. The 12 is a shock. Does the UIF come to their assistance even if they haven't been registered?
No, you have to be registered to have access to UIF, and we do ask this question. So we've been asking this question in the last few years, especially post-COVID, where we see, you know, a mass loss of jobs. For those that's registered, we ask them, did UIF pay out? Did they have access to funding? And positive to report, the majority of them, if they are registered, they do have access to UIF support. but if they're registered.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a negative comment, but I suppose it's a bit of a dead-end job in terms of opportunities and where you can go with it. Are these women aware of opportunities elsewhere that could perhaps help them escape the shackles of this particular job? I'm thinking childcare, elder care, and the like.
Yes, certainly. The domestic workers are very ambitious. You know, contrary to people's beliefs, they want to do better for themselves and for their children. We've launched elder care and childcare on our platform with big demand, and we have amazing supply. The feedback we get from customers is just astonishing. We have the most willing and capable workers, and they do earn more when they go into these forms of labor. And then the other thing is we see a lot of workers coming onto our platform, onto the SweepSelf platform, that uses that as a springboard into other job opportunities whilst they study, whilst they're getting practical experience for nursing, for teaching, etc. So we see a lot of workers using the SweepSelf platform for a springboard onto other types of work. So certainly that movement is there.
Lerandi, we've spoken a couple of times about SweepSelf. What is it exactly?
So SweepSelf is a platform where we connect homeowners with domestic workers, elder carers, child carers. So we use a technology platform to basically connect the demand for care in your home to the supply that is vetted, trusted, rated by other customers. And obviously, before we bring them onto the platform, we ensure we do all the background checks and verifications to make sure that the person we put into your home is trusted. So we basically work for a trusted workforce on demand.
Final question for you this afternoon. Do you think the current legislative environment is a hindrance or an aid to domestic workers?
Sure, that's a very good question. I think legislation is good to protect minorities and the vulnerable that doesn't have a voice. I think it's very needed and required. Sometimes, and it's not always the case, when areas becomes too legislative with very little flexibility, it can hinder growth and opportunities.
Interesting discussion. Lerandi Creel, Chief Executive of SweepSelf, thank you for your time this afternoon.